give me that phone. Devon Gibbons on 97.5, The Fanatic.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5, The Fanatic, 7:17 on a Thursday night following Cousins Corner here on this Football Thursday and a Phillies Thursday, as both will be in action tonight. The Phillies already underway, scoreless at the moment as they start things off. I mean, look for the sweep here tonight against the Miami Marlins. They already won the series, looking for the sweep now, five games in a row, and trying to stay and keep pace with everybody. Look, the Braves lost, the Padres and Brewers all lost. So the Phillies are 2.5 games up on the Padres, 4.5 up on the Brewers, and with the tiebreaker each, about 3.5 and 5.5 overall against both San Diego and Milwaukee. So Phil's looking to get the sweep tonight against the Marlins, who have been eliminated from the postseason and are gearing up for a big-time series against the Atlanta Braves beginning tomorrow in Atlanta against the wild-card leading Braves, who might be an opponent of the Phils in the postseason. So see how all that goes. We'll keep you updated on that throughout the night. We'll talk with you, of course, about the Birds and tap into what Jalen Reagor did say to the assembled media, I'm guessing, in Minnesota, where he mentioned that he will be looking at this game on Monday as a revenge. I mean, look, I don't know how many snaps he took in game one, but the revenge, I'm sure, will have to come on special teams in particular if he's going to do some damage. And I'm not afraid based on what we've seen before, even though the coach talked about how much he liked his lower base and all that stuff. And he likes how he did nothing. And look, he's got a new start. It is what it is. He'll get it this week and then we'll move on. We'll forget about him as the season goes along. But we have a lot to get to. Tom Alvord is here and hanging out with us until 10. We'll have the leftovers with him as we go along at 9:45. Talk about the game, of course, tonight for the Phils, where they are, I think it's 58-33. Let me look at my notes here briefly. I had it written down before Tom shows me up and knows it by off the top of his head. under Rob Thompson, they're 58-33. Since he took over with these games remaining as we get ready for, as Anthony said, Red October here with baseball. So the 6 o'clock hour, by the way, was brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 17 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. Okay, as we get underway here tonight and kind of look forward to what the Minnesota Vikings present to the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday, we kind of move past Detroit, and it is what it is. Detroit has moved past Philadelphia. They're getting ready for their next game against the Washington football team on Sunday as they host Carson Wentz and company. And the Eagles are getting ready for the Minnesota Vikings, which is going to be a tough task on Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field. It's not going to be an easy game. We know that. Justin Jefferson, Dalvin Cook, Kirk Cousins, Adam Thielen, they have weapons on their side of the football. The defense in general is also going to be a bit of a problem for them potentially. So we'll see how it all goes. Now, look, they did get some good work done against Detroit, but this Minnesota defense is much better than that Detroit team. So the Eagles are going to have to be prepared for this thing as they get ready and looking at what they present. And tomorrow we'll give our predictions and all. Tom will have his show this weekend to give his predictions for the game this weekend. I look at this one as the Phils now give up a home run. Ranger Suarez and the Miami Marlins now up 1-0 at the moment. Noah Syndergaard gives up the home run. And Syndergaard, as we've talked about in the past, sorry to pivot so quickly. Syndergaard got through two unscathed, and now he gives up a home run, and we speak about how he likes to give us some runs early and then he settles down. But all right, they're down 1-0, and we'll see if they can come back. But as far as the Birds go, we look at things with Minnesota. It's a scary thing, and I heard Anthony talking about it with Brad and how you feel. We still have many days to go before we really start to change our minds. The same way we change our mind or how we may have viewed the game on Sunday, where in the moment we weren't necessarily happy with how things went. And then you go and you look back, and when you go and look back, you say, all right, maybe it wasn't as bad as I thought as far as Jalen Hurts' play or some of the other aspects of the game where we look at it. But today, right now, I do feel good about this game against Minnesota. Yes, it's an early test for them. That may tell a lot about where the Eagles are and how they will get themselves together going against this Minnesota team. But I just think that this is a test that is an early test. Could tell a story, may not tell a story, because things happen just like when they lost to Kansas City in week number two in 2017. They go on and run 9 games in a row where they probably should have lost that Giants game in week three, and it wasn't for that Jake Elliott 61-yarder back here at Lincoln Financial Field to eventually pick up the win for the team. Who knows how things would have went? But what happened was they went on a 9-game winning streak. So it may tell a story. It may not tell a story. We might be too high. We might be too low after the game. But what we certainly know is going to happen is we're gonna learn something at least a little bit from this game this weekend. And what I want to look at when it comes to them and start things off is what I want to learn from this football team this weekend. It's not that I didn't learn much in week number one, because look, we really didn't. What we saw was we saw a lot of what we viewed last year with this football team as far as the offense goes. We saw a lot of what we saw from the defense, where we had questions about how Jonathan Gannon was running his defense, and we questioned a lot of that stuff last season, and we certainly questioned it even after a win. And it's a tough go because they won the game. It's week one. We don't view them like we see the Kansas City Chiefs or some of these other teams in the NFL where we look at them as Super Bowl contenders. We don't. Let's be clear. We don't. But we do react based on what they did, and what they did was show us that they can score the football against a bad team, at least right now thinking Detroit's going to be a bad team, and not be able to slow down some talented players like DeAndre Swift, Amon-Ra Brown. TJ Hockenson didn't do much, but Jared Goff sat back there as a pocket quarterback and was able to deliver some key passes in the second half to get them back into the game. So what I learned was not much, really, except for Jalen Hurts can still do the stuff that he did a year ago. He has a bit of an improvement with his arm because we see him with a much better wide receiver, so that probably helps out in general when discussing who he is and what he is at the moment. Miles Sanders looks good. The offensive line, despite some of the issues, nothing has changed there for me. But what I learned is that they still have a ways to go defensively, and that's what we talked about a lot this week leading up to this Thursday night conversation that we're going to have. And what I'm looking to learn from this weekend is how strong of a defense do they have and the adjustments that can be made from week to week from Jonathan Gannon with his defense. Because you saw some talented players against Detroit. These are even more talented players where Dalvin Cook is probably on the same level, at least after week one, when it comes to DeAndre Swift. Swift with the big day on Sunday. We know that he was probably on that second tier of running backs where Dalvin Cook was probably, you can have conversations where he's on the back end of the first tier or top tier of the second tier. Either way, we know he's a really talented back in this league. And the way that Swift played this past weekend, he was great in that game. The second best player in the game behind A.J. Brown, if you will. And if you want to argue that he was the best, all right, go ahead. There's an argument for it because of the numbers that he put up against a porous defensive scheme put forth by the Philadelphia Eagles. So that's what I learned, that as we talk about everything from the coaches to the players, Jonathan Gannon, we know, as we discuss, has to come up with a better game plan. So when I look forward to this week, starting this weekend, albeit a Monday night game, I want to know from you, what do you think you are going to learn from this weekend against the Minnesota Vikings? It's a much better team, we think, that has a lot of buzz, just like the Eagles, as a team that's going to be a playoff team. I want to know what you're looking to learn from this team this weekend, and how realistic do you believe that the thing that you are trying to figure out and learn will come to fruition this weekend against the Minnesota Vikings and that offense in particular as we get ready for a big matchup, the home opener on Sunday at Lincoln, Monday at Lincoln Financial Field. 610-632-0975. We'll get Tom's thoughts on what he is looking forward to learning this weekend. Again, he'll have his predictions over the weekend with the show with Connor Thomas. I have my predictions on Friday. And we all gear up and get ready for this thing this weekend. But I want to know from you, as we pivot from last weekend's game against Detroit, as the main talking point, but look towards this game upcoming on Monday with so much more evaluation with this game on Friday. What are you looking to learn from them this weekend? Especially if you were looking at that one and saying, all right, the way that it went, I'm going to allow that to be the fourth preseason game. We're going to allow that to be the fourth preseason game. Okay, so now what are you looking to learn in week number one against Minnesota, a good football team that you're probably going to have to battle out for a playoff spot, albeit you can win your division, but we know with the seeding and all and how things are, especially with the number one seed being the only one that has the bye, of where the Eagles will fall in the NFC playoff race after winning the division, but also making sure you accumulate enough wins to be at the top of the NFC, if not second in the NFC for your playoffs. What are you looking to learn as we start things off on Monday night against the Minnesota Vikings, 610-632-0975, especially if you gave the buffer of week number one being just that, preseason game number four for your football team. So we'll begin there as we begin the conversation and look ahead to week number two against Minnesota. Justin Jefferson in town, and man, that's one that got away. We can talk about so many athletes that have gotten away from this city that still pains you to this day. Still pains you to this day. And just because Jalen Reagor is now in Minnesota with Justin Jefferson, that's not going to stop now. This is now going to be a discussion with some of the other athletes in this city that have gotten away. So we'll also incorporate that into the show too as we go along, the ones that got away. And whatever sport, whatever league you want to talk about, if you want to talk about college and they went to college somewhere else because they transferred and turned out to be a player there, a local player that did not stay here in town, that decided to go to college elsewhere, whatever it is, as we look at this game upcoming, Justin Jefferson in town, he was right there for you to take him at that pick. In that 2020 draft with the Philadelphia Eagles selecting Jalen Reagor, athletes that simply got away. We'll do that as we go along, 610-632-0975, hanging out with you on a Thursday night, a football Thursday with a big Thursday night football game. The Phils are at it right now, looking for the sweep against the Miami Marlins. Noah Syndergaard on the mound at this time. He got out of the inning after giving up the one home run to give the Marlins the 1-0 lead. We'll see if the Phillies can get that run back before they move on this evening, picking up this one, hopefully, and then moving on to Atlanta in the 3-game series this weekend in Atlanta. All right, 610-632-0975. We'll go along with you until 10 o'clock. We'll get the leftovers from Tom Alvord, 945. We'll keep you posted on the Phillies. We'll talk a little bit more about them in general as they make this playoff push. And we will talk about what Daryl Morey had to say. We'll play the audio from the John Clark podcast and see what he had to say. It's not the podcast? What is it? It's the podcast. All right, I just wanted to make sure. The John Clark podcast from NBC Sports Philadelphia, and what Daryl Morey had to say about athletes playing in this city. All right, 610-632-0975. I'm Devon Givens with you until 10. Tom Alvord also here with us hanging out on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back. 97.5 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. As we get underway here on this Thursday night, running until 10 o'clock, Tom Alvord here as well. And we'll take your phone calls discussing the birds as the Phils right now. Bryce Harper was on base with the hottest man in baseball outside of Mike Trout and Aaron Judge. JT Realmuto was up to play, but he hit into a double play, so now they are. Alec Boehm has one runner on first, as a matter of fact, JT Realmuto was safe at first.
Fielder's choice.
So he was safe at first. two outs, boom, at the plate right now. And, yeah, so as we get started, and I said, you know, some things that we learned. One other thing that I wanted to put in there that we learned is while we talk about the negative side of him and Jonathan Gannon and what he needs to do to adjust, the one positive that I saw outside of the Brown and even the Hurts part was the Miles Sanders play. As much as I get on him, I never said he wasn't a good back. I said he was an annoying back that I didn't love because too often is he injured and then talking too much. That's a bit of a thing for me where it's a bit of a turnoff when it comes to him. But as far as the talent goes, it's there. It has always been there. It's up to him to have that continue and capitalize off of that with the talent and, you know, in general overall with him. And that's just something that I wanted to see. And look, 7.4 yards, I think it was, per carry on Sunday for 96 yards and 13 carries overall, 13 touches for him as a runner. I mean, my goodness. I mean, the guy is good. The guy we can see. Can he be like Swift and can he be like Barkley and be one of those top running backs in the league? I don't know. But it was a positive sign to see him get through the game clean, dealing with whatever hamstring problem he had throughout training camp, and come up big for the football team this Sunday. So good to see him get in the end zone. I don't see it happening this weekend. They wanted to get that one out of the way, but who knows? He might get in the end zone. I think it's more of a Devontae Smith. Let's focus on him a little bit because of the feature play that they had with A.J. Brown, 13 targets, 10 catches for 155 through the air. But Miles Sanders is a plus for me, something that I did learn, and I want to see that continue with this football team. Tom, as we get started, before we get to the phones and retweets and all, as we get going on this Thursday night, good evening. First, I've talked to you since you had the post game on Sunday, and since we've been together, want to get your thoughts on the game in general, kind of, you know, go back on that, but also looking ahead to what the question is here tonight.
Yeah, so obviously did post-game on Sunday, myself and Connor Thomas. And the initial thought we had after we saw that game, first game of the season where everyone's expectations are sky high, as soon as that game ended, I felt unsatisfied. And I felt like there was more left out on that field that shouldn't have been. And to me, we had kind of a negative outlook on that game because you're up, what, 17 points in the fourth quarter. Everything's looking good, and you just scrape by the skin of your teeth. At least that's what the scoreboard showed. But as it settled in, the next day I'm thinking about it, the couple days after, I rewatched the game, rewatched the highlights. I sat back and thought, you know what? It's week one. There's a lack of preseason. You're going to Detroit, a team that is feeling themselves like no other on Hard Knocks. It's everybody's favorite team coming into the season. Not to make the playoffs or not to make the Super Bowl or anything like that, but everyone's rooting for the Detroit Lions after Hard Knocks. They're feeling themselves. That was a hostile environment on Sunday afternoon. There was obviously issues with the line and the blitzing, and there was the delay of game penalties that they had and the too many men on the field. Just, it's obvious the crowd got to him. So when I really sat back and thought about it, I was like, you know what? You got the win. I thought Hurts played better than I initially thought as soon as the game ended. Listen, would I like him to keep his head downfield a little bit more than he did at least last game and they did last year? Yes. That line was Swiss cheese at times, and they don't win that game without Jalen Hurts and his legs. I still want to see how he improves as a passer as the season goes along. But despite my initial reaction, my and Connor's initial reaction, which was sort of negative after the game, when it sinks in and you think about it and you see what goes on around the league and the Denver Broncos losing the way they did and the Cincinnati Bengals losing the way they did, listen, it's week one. You're on the road. You got to win. That's really all you can ask for at that point. Style points don't matter at that point. So that's my thoughts in the initial week one of the season.
It was how you get it done. Just get it done in week number one. And yes, there nothing was perfect. It wasn't a Kansas City type of game where you look back and you say, you know what? Everything went well.
That couldn't have gone any better.
Couldn't have gone any better in that one. And especially after game one, after Tyreek Hill, all of that, everything was perfect. All right, it didn't happen that way in this case. We didn't think they were there yet anyway. There was some trepidation that they might lose that game as it was. They got off to a slow start. They figured it out. They started to hang those points on them. They went up by 17. Unfortunately, they did not hang on to the lead the way that it was, messing up a lot of people's bets, mine included. Despite that, you move on and you say, you know what? It's week number one. You correct the mistakes, fix the problem, and let's move on to the next part of things, which is the much harder game again, the Minnesota Vikings. So as the things that you saw from this past weekend, and as you gear up for this Monday night affair with the Minnesota Vikings, what did you learn from game one that you need to maybe see corrected or stay in game number two?
Yeah, I'm just excited to see what was real and what wasn't. And I'm looking forward to see more of a sample size. Now, listen, two games isn't a great sample size either, but it is greater than one. That is simple math there for those out there listening. Yeah, I'm just excited to see a bigger sample size, see how this team responds. I'm excited to see how the offensive line looks, how the penalties, if they're able to keep them down to an extent, they'll be at home. They won't have to worry about crowd noise as much in you know, important situations like that. I'm looking forward to see how Jonathan Gannon looks. I think that's how everyone is looking forward to see how the defensive line looks, the interior defensive line, how Hassan Reddick is used, how Jalen Hurts looks, and if he's looking to rush 15 times besides his kneel downs towards the end of the game. So to me, it's just the larger sample size, seeing it against a good opponent. Now, listen, I think we could look back on week one and that Detroit Lions could end up being a good opponent as the season goes along. They end up finishing bet with a better record than some think, but a better opponent in the Vikings, at least on paper, than the Detroit Lions are. I'm excited for more of a sample size and seeing what was real last week and what was just a 1 week wonder, if you will.
It's a good one. Really appreciate that, man.
Kind of cop out because it was a little bit of everything, but I'm just excited to see everything.
Exactly. It's still week one, so there are a lot of questions that we have and not a lot of answers just yet. Week number one, Kansas City put up 44 points on Arizona, 44 to 21. The 21 didn't really mean anything. They really blew that team out. But I'm sure that they still want to see how real that was with some of the new people they have that's not Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill. Now that he's gone, yes, we already know who Travis Kelce is. Who is Scantling? Who is Clyde Edwards-Helaire? Even though he's been there, is he a two-touchdown-a-game type of player no matter how he gets the football? What about Juju Smith-Schuster?
Who looked good last week.
All of Mecole Hardman. Are you going to be a top guy for us on this team if you're a Kansas City fan? How real is that? The defense. How real was your defense not giving up anything to that Arizona team who many believe could be a bad football team? How real is that now that you're going to go against the Los Angeles Chargers tonight, minus Keenan Allen, but still Justin Herbert is there with Mike Williams and everybody else, Austin Eckler, as you talked about. So, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of teams are still trying to figure out who they are after week number one.
And listen, it is just 1 week, and we got the win, and that's all we can ask for. But when I look back, and when I look at what some of the other teams did in the NFL, as I mentioned, when I look back to last season, where the Eagles came out and they won, what, 32-6 against the Atlanta Falcons, and everything was rolling, everything looked great, everything looked tremendous.
Yep.
They end up losing three straight after that, and they end up losing five of their next six. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but it is a one-week sample size. I'm excited to see it expand and see more of this football team, learn who they really are.
And you may not be able to win the way that you won on Sunday. You might be able to do that sometimes. That will not be the way that you can win all the time going forward.
That shouldn't be the recipe against
especially the 17 runs, as you said, 15
yes,
before the kneel downs.
Which
you cannot have that.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm not looking to get into a shootout necessarily if you're going against the likes of Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert. I know those guys aren't on the roster, but those types of quarterbacks, like Aaron Rodgers later.
You'll see enough of them. You'll see enough.
Yes.
Kirk Cousins.
He has all the opportunity to do that.
He does.
Those weapons.
And as we ask the question, with Justin Jefferson coming into town, first of all, John Palmer says, we have A.J. Brown. I don't care about Justin Jefferson anymore. Well, you have to because you have to defend him. Yes, you do have A.J. Brown. You're going to see him, John. I understand your point. As far as the conversation goes, one that got away. We have a good amount of them here on 97.5 The Fanatic Twitter account. But I ask you first, before I even give mine, one that got away for you.
Yeah, and this isn't we're not happy with A.J. Brown. We wish we had Justin Jefferson. Now, listen.
It has nothing to do with A.J. Brown.
Everybody in the world wishes they had Justin Jefferson on their team because he might be the best receiver in football. We are completely content with A.J. Brown as the wide receiver one here. When it comes to the one that got away, and I've seen this one, we also, on 97.5 The Fanatic's official Twitter account, put out this question as well. So if you can't call in, you can go out there and respond on there as well. To me, I'll always look back, and this is, trust the process, if you will. They picked Markelle Fultz over Jason Tatum. At the time, I was on board with the Markelle Fultz pick because it seemed like the perfect fit. There were still questions about Jason Tatum coming out of Duke. But when you look at it and you look at Jason Tatum and how good, he might be a top, what, 15 to 20 player in basketball right now?
Yes, he is.
And Markelle Fultz is a top 215 player right now.
Yeah.
And he's not even on the Sixers. That is definitely the one that got away.
I'll stay basketball, but I may not go where a lot of people might think we'll go. I'm going to go with Chris Webber or Penny Hardaway because of, you don't know if the trade would have happened. So it's probably Penny Hardaway. I don't care who was on the roster at the time where people were like, oh, no, it was 92 and you had so-and-so. It doesn't matter. Penny Hardaway, you take the best player available. Penny Hardaway was better than Sean Bradley. I understand you may have had a need for a center, but Penny Hardaway was the better player. And then you trade for Chris Webber. If that is the case, and you had Clarence Weatherspoon, I don't care about that either because Chris Webber is better than Clarence Weatherspoon. The one that got away from me is the duo, and whichever one would have eventually been here, Chris Webber or Penny Hardaway, that is mine.
That is a great one.
It's a tough one, boy. That
bums some people out, I'm sure. Listen,
you know
to
what's funny? Because
we're going to be bummed out tonight, aren't we, listening
to
these answers?
Yeah, a little bit with that part because as you mentioned yours and Markelle Fultz and Jason Tatum, and then right away we see it, as you said, someone mentioned it on 97.5 The Fanatic's Twitter account. You never really had a shot at him. Well, technically you did because you had the number one pick. You traded up because you made a deal with Danny Ainge for Markelle Fultz. If you wanted to ruin and have a bad reputation around the NBA, you take Jason Tatum because you want him and you stick it to the Celtics and you made other people mad at you because you did it. So technically you did it, but you kind of did because you had the number one pick. So there's always that part with it. But hey, if you want them, you want them. You go take them if you want them.
Yeah, you pair up Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, and Jason Tatum all in their early 20s. This is before the Ben Simmons debacle here.
Yeah.
I'll take that risk of damaging relationships.
Damaging relationships.
It's easy to say now, but yes. It's
very much
easier
so.
Said than
very
thought.
Much so. So we'll open up things there. And we have a few already on 97.5's Twitter account at 97.5. You can also hit me up at 97.5 at Devon G 975 and at Tom Alvord on Twitter. Do you have an underscore?
T Alvord 975.
T Alvord 975 on Twitter. So that's where we'll begin talking about the Birds and a little side there and with the players that got away with Justin Jefferson coming to visit town on Monday night. We hope that he doesn't have a good game, but we already know he's one of the best players in the NFL and arguably the best wide receiver. With Jamar Chase and so many others that you can, Cooper Kupp, that you can have the conversation, Devontae Adams, all of those players, certainly you can have that conversation. All right, 610-632-0975. We'll let you know about the new person that will be joining us at FanFest as we come back on the other side. We'll tell you who that is. I'm sure a lot of people will be excited. Hope he doesn't dodge you a little bit because he can be a little shady. Get to it on the other side, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone to Vaughn Gibbons on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
8 o'clock, 97.5 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. Phil's down 4-0 now. Noah Syndergaard. Tom?
Yeah, not good.
Not good at all.
Two homers let up, one solo, one three-run homer.
Yeah.
Yeah, he probably doesn't get a start for you in the playoffs. Now, I know that's easy to say. You might potentially only have two games in the playoffs, but listen, I know that he's had some good games here, but for the most part, there's been way too many hits allowed, way too many walks allowed with Syndergaard, way too much contact, and I understand why they did it, bringing him in here as a fifth starter, but you don't trust him at all.
No.
Again, especially against better teams. We haven't even seen him pitch much against better teams, but yeah, he's hard to trust right now.
No.
But hey, Bailey Falter.
Yeah. Yeah. Bailey Falter is the man. He absolutely is the man.
He's saved them these last couple weeks. He really has.
Yes, he has. So, he's not going to be the third starter in the playoffs.
But man, is he Falter? You're saying,
yeah, man, has he been good?
He's someone you can rely on, which at least right now. Sample size still relatively small. It's only been four or five starts or so. But right now, he is one of your better pitchers pitching on this team. And I'm not going to overreact too much. There's still a lot of game left. But you won the series against the Marlins. This is one of those classic getaway games. We'll see what happens. Hopefully, there's a little bit more fight from the Phillies. But, yeah, so far, not exactly encouraging tonight.
Not much.
Nah.
Not much at all. All right, 610-632-0975. We got to tell you, though, about FanFest. Saturday, October 1st from 1 to 5 at Xfinity Live. Must be 21 to enter. We found out a couple of weeks ago that Darius Slay will be appearing at Fantasy Fest as courtesy of CSL Plasma. And you can stay tuned for more information on how you can win a meet and greet at FanFest with Big Play Slay. And now we have another one. That was announced earlier this morning. Football. And when I meant shady, I didn't mean like, shady. I meant he's swift. He's shady. He can make you miss all that stuff. Hey, we are excited to announce that we have added LeSean Shady McCoy to appear at FanFest. And he is presented by
FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook, make every moment more.
That's right. He will be there. Stay tuned for info on how you can meet LeSean McCoy, Shady McCoy, at FanFest on Saturday, October 1st. And, of course, it's all brought to you by, all of it is brought to you by,
FanDuel Sportsbook.
That's right. All right. So look at that. You got two football guys in the building on Saturday, October 1st. Talking about the game the next day, you got to get Darius Slay out there. You know, got to get Slay out there in a decent time. He's got a game to play the next day, and don't give him any alcoholic beverages the night before. Tell him to save it for the day after. You know, after the game, all good after the game.
Talk about getting you hyped for that Eagles game the next day. You got Shady, you got Darius Slay.
Do you have a preference of which one you're more interested in catching up with?
Honestly, not really. Both equally. I mean, Darius Slay, one of the best cornerbacks in the league right now. One of the best personalities on this Eagles team. Shady McCoy, one of the best running backs in Eagles history. And those are the Eagles teams that I grew up on to an extent. Born in 94. That's when I really, really first started following the Eagles. Always paid attention to them.
Yep.
It's a little bit tougher to do when you're 10 years old with those 04 teams and stuff like that. But those Shady McCoy teams with DeSean Jackson, they were so much fun to watch. Jeremy Maclin, those are the teams I remember when I really started getting into Eagles football. So probably Shady by a slim margin, but you can't go wrong with either.
No, you cannot go wrong.
And Shady's prime, does Slay make that tackle open field? Because I say no.
No.
Love Darius Slay.
Yeah.
But Shady, in his prime, was another animal.
I think he makes him miss.
Made everybody miss.
That's why he's Shady. Shady McShifty.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's real shifty. So that would be cool to have both of those football guys there. I'd imagine, just because knowing how FanFest works, there would probably be another one somewhere along the line of someone else being there at FanFest with us. So stay tuned for more info. Because more will be added each week leading up to FanFest. And we hope to give everybody an opportunity to hang out with us at FanFest on that day. So we look forward to that, and we hope that everybody can hang out with us and enjoy it, man. It's going to be a good time. It really will be a good time on that Saturday. So the Phils, as we talked about, despite the start that they are on right now, we mentioned already at 58-33, they are under Rob Thompson. And, man, has he been really good. Man, has he been really good as the manager. I know how you feel about him being the manager going forward. Wait until the playoffs are locked in. It's kind of almost, you know, locked in at what, 19 games, including this one, remaining?
Yeah, and 19 including this one, yeah. And 15 is the magic number.
They have some tough games against Atlanta. They have two tough games against Toronto back here in Philadelphia. So that's kind of a We got to pay you guys back for what you did to us, taking two up there in Toronto, shorthanded, because you can't travel to Canada because a couple of guys. Everybody should be available when the two games here. I expect them to at least split that one and get one, but they're really in a good spot. And I think everybody is finally, I'm not going to say comfortable, where you're comfortable and satisfied with what they've done, but most people are comfortable knowing that they are going, or thinking in their belief that their percentage chances are real and they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, it would take a pretty epic collapse here for the Phillies. I mean, Fangraphs has them at like 95% chance to make the playoffs. Listen, they have a really tough 9-game stretch coming up. Starting tomorrow night, you got 3 against the Braves, 2 against the Blue Jays, as you mentioned, and then 4 more against the Braves. So those are going to be 3 really tough series that you have there. But the Phillies can go out and make a statement not only to this city, but to all of Major League Baseball, like, hey, we are this good. Now, their record shows it, especially under Rob Thompson. They're on like a 100-win pace under Rob Thompson, which is just incredible. He should be getting manager of the Year votes. He really should, especially with the way the Mets are collapsing to an extent. But yeah, they have a real opportunity here to prove it to Philadelphia that, hey, we belong. Like, jump on board. I know you guys got hesitant, people out there listening, when after the Mets series, with that collapse, only winning one of those 4 games, and Bailey Falter was the game that you won, and then going on the road and having the collapse against the Diamondbacks and Giants. Listen, all that's in the past. We can have the opportunity, the Phillies have the opportunity to go out there and show, hey, jump on board, guys. We are a real team. Let's get to the playoffs and let's have this a great run in October, something that we haven't had here in over a decade.
Yeah.
They can do that.
They really can.
With 3 good series.
They really can. They really can. So it's fun to watch. It's fun to see it. And, I mean, look, we talk about all the players all the time, and until this thing is finally done and we sit back and we talk about Rob Thompson and the job that he has actually put together here with this team, we're going to talk about him very, very favorably of the things that he has done, because he has done a tremendous job of setting himself up the way that he has to move forward in being the manager of this team. And it's well-deserved. It's one that you know, we've talked about it a bunch and just trying to really understand, is he really the guy? Why is he really the guy? And I think he is the guy, at least for the next season that will be upcoming. They seem to connect with him. They seem to have a pretty good relationship with him overall. And I like the fact that I like his demeanor and all the things that really are what he's about, at least what we've seen so far. You never know. He might get big-headed, might think he's better than he actually is. But he seems to be legit as is with how he is presenting himself to us. And I like what I've seen from him, and I really hope that continues to go forward.
Yeah, Matt Gelb wrote a great article in The Athletic the other day that I was reading. It was just about Rob Thompson and his presence in the clubhouse, and not only just being different from Joe Girardi, that's a whole another conversation there, but just how peaceful and easy and relaxed he has that dugout feeling. So it's not every loss is the end of the world. Not every loss series is the end of the world and the start of the collapse. The relationship that he has with these players and that he has with young players in particular, in specifically, where the players know that, hey, if they have a bad game or a bad stretch here, they still can count on having an opportunity to go out there and be in the starting lineup because Rob Thompson trusts them. He has conversations with these players. And like I mentioned, it's just a relaxed environment. They said Thompson is the first one at the field every single morning and the last one that leaves. That's not your star player. And listen, that's not a slight of Price or anything like that. That's not a player a fringe guy trying to make the team or anything like that. No, that's your manager out there doing that. And the dude just loves baseball and he has this team absolutely rolling. And I know I said they have to clinch the playoffs for him to be back next year. And I do still believe that because anything can happen in baseball, but man, he deserves every opportunity and every chance to be the manager of this baseball team, not only next season, but hopefully multiple seasons after that with what we've seen so far.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely, man. And so we look forward to seeing what he will be able to do, what he can do, what this baseball team going forward. So see if they can bounce back in this one, down 4-0. Noah Syndergaard still in the game, bottom of the 5th, it looks like right now. In Miami. So I also wanted to say this too, man, because it was something that I saw a little bit earlier that I wanted to bring up. And It was this, and I know you just came back from you were on vacation, and you were on the beach a little while ago, right?
Yeah, a couple months ago. Yeah.
So I saw this post earlier. Several hundred, even thousands, of crocodiles have found themselves invading one particular beach in Brazil. And if you saw the video, they're like lined up by the water as the water is, you know, still coming up into the land. And they are just rolling. They are just lined up. And I mean lined up. Lined up all across this beach with all these crocodiles just sitting there. And it looks crazy because when you see it on first glance, you're like, are they alive? They're not moving. They're just sitting there.
Looks like something out of Jurassic Park.
So you saw this?
Honestly, yeah, I saw a screenshot of it earlier. I didn't realize it was a video.
There's a video of it. I think the helicopter is hovering over it.
Yeah, there's
man,
probably 1,000 of these things. And I don't mess with crocodiles. That's bad news there.
What are you supposed to do?
Sell the island.
What are you supposed to do?
Just that's their island now. It's Crocodile Island.
Oh, man. What are you supposed to do?
Well, and they say, are they worried about, like, because animals obviously have, like, a sense of nature and what's going to happen. Are they worried about, like, an earthquake or a volcano preparing or something like that? And they're just trying to get the safety. Yeah, that's something out of a horror movie. That's what that is, Devon.
That is not cool.
And I'm glad it's not anywhere around here.
That
because
is
I'd be
not
moving.
Cool. Not cool
I'll be doing
at all.
Sports radio in Colorado or something.
No, not cool at all, man. So I saw that and I was like, I can't believe this. I cannot believe this. But there it is. There it is. Are you kidding me?
No bueno. I'm out.
No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. Could not do that. Could not do that. That would be a fear of mine where, no, I couldn't do something like that. Could not do it. I don't mess around with things like that anyway. And just to imagine thinking that you would be there and you would walk up. Oh, let me turn around.
You're walking
very quickly.
Down with your girl, with your partner. Oh, let's go see the beach. It's a nice view.
And of course, naturally, you're going to think you're faster than them, right? Any of them. One of them. It doesn't matter. Especially on the sand. They can't get you. Dude. The fear, of course, is going to make you run super fast. However, you don't know how fast they're really going. And I've seen things where they've put like miles per hour of how fast a crocodile can actually move. But are you serious? Are you kidding me? No, sir.
That's every man for themselves at that point.
No,
I don't care
sir.
Who you're with.
No, sir. So I got to find the video to tweet it out because Vicky, Stacy says she wants to see it. I actually have it right here. So let me send it. I'll send it to Stacy and we'll see if. No, sir. No, sir. Could not do it. So I'm going to send it out to Stacy right now, and she can check it out.
You can just type in like hashtag crocodiles on Twitter.
So at first, when I saw this initially, I thought this. Are they like, I was thinking, are they snakes? So just from how high they were, I'm like, all right, there are a bunch of snakes that are just lined up across the thing. And then when I read it, I'm like, no, yeah, there was a crocodiles. And then I see some of them moving. What is happening here? What is happening?
It does at first look like a bunch of snakes.
A bunch
like
of snakes. Just a bunch of them.
Combined or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone is saying those are caimans, not crocodiles. They're traveling or migrating a long distance like birds do. They stop on the beach because the tide turned and the current is flowing in the opposite direction from where they want to go. The caimans, not crocodiles. Well, guess what? I don't care what they are.
I'm not messing with them.
I am not dealing with it. I
don't care what their name is.
I am not dealing with it. No, no, sir. Not a chance. not a chance. None whatsoever. So there's that. I wanted to share that because I had it in my notes and I wanted to get that out and see it. I didn't know that you saw it, so I wanted to get your thoughts on it and see what you.
My thoughts are similar to your thoughts and a lot of people's thoughts out there. Get me as far away from this beach as possible.
Yeah, yeah. That's not good. Not good.
I'm not a big reptile guy, man.
No,
they
don't like snakes.
Not into those at all. I'm good.
No snakes, no spiders, no none of that stuff. Nah. I don't need to show my toughness.
Nah.
Not in that way. not in that way. All right, Vicky says on Twitter, I am Vicky Lynn. Just want to know what you and Tom think the Eagles' record will be. I say 10 wins. So when I gave my prediction, Vic, last week, I said I think they go 11-6 on the season. I think they are that good to go 11-6. Yes, the schedule is favorable to them, but I also think that they're a good football team. The defense needs to be better than what they were on Sunday, Vic, for that to stand. But that was my choice, 11. Tom, yours? Since we talked about it last Thursday, but you were saving it for your weekend show. What was your eventual prediction?
Yeah, final predictions for me ended up being 10 wins from then. So they finished at 10-7. This is no slight to the Eagles. This is not me not being all in on them to an extent and excited for the season. I am, and I still think they win the division. This was before Dak Prescott gets hurt. Now he's out a minimum 4 weeks, which it shouldn't be 4 weeks at least. This looks like a very similar injury that Russell Wilson dealt with last year. He came back way too early and
it wasn't good.
It affected him the entire rest of the season. So I understand you want to win as many games as possible and get him back as soon as possible. Well, you want to make sure he's healthy if you're the Cowboys when it comes to Dak Prescott. To me, I have worries about Jonathan Gannon and what this defense can do. I worry a little bit about the depth in the secondary and the D-line to an extent. This is before Derek Barnett went down. And, you know, Derek Barnett isn't exactly a fan favorite here in Philly, but that is a depth piece that is valuable to any defensive line, no matter what your thoughts on him are or not. I have concerns about Hurts and the ability of how much of a step he is able to make. And when it comes down to it, the NFL is really tough, and it's really tough to predict. I know a lot of people look at this schedule and look at it as an easy schedule or a favorable schedule. I heard a ton of, oh, I can't see six losses on this schedule, and that's very true when you look at it, but you don't know what these teams are going to be come week 10, come week 12.
On the Eagles schedule?
Yeah.
I can see six losses.
I can too.
Yeah.
But I heard a lot of people saying, I don't see six losses. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, I look at a team like the Chicago Bears in December 18th. I don't know what they're going to look like. Coming into the season, everybody has that as a win. What if Justin Fields is really good? What if Darnell Mooney becomes and emerges as a really good wide receiver in the coaching staff now that the old coach who is blanking in my head right now is not there, Nagy. Matt Nagy is no longer there.
Yep.
That could potentially be a loss. You have three straight road games at the end. Saquon Barkley looked like Saquon Barkley of 3 years ago.
Yes, he did.
The Tennessee Titans, like, you just never know. The New Orleans Saints, a lot of people are high on. So to me, it was a factor of all the negatives I was looking at when it came to the Eagles. And I think the schedule could be a little bit tougher than people are giving it credit for. But this is still a 10-win team. That is a really good team in my eyes, and this is a team that is going to win the NFC East and hopefully win a playoff game. Mm-hmm. That was my prediction a week ago, and that still is my prediction a week later.
Yeah, nothing has changed for me. I still think they're an 11-win team, 10 wins for you, and that's the division. That's enough for the division win, even with the Cowboys down. You feel like that's enough for a division win? Okay, cool.
Yes.
So there's that, and we both feel like they'll win the division. And not saying it is easier, but of course, more of an opportunity with Dak Prescott down. Maybe Dallas will lose quite a few games in that time with Cooper Rush as the quarterback for however long Cooper Rush will be the quarterback, whether they decide to make a change or not. It's not going to be easy for Dallas without Dak Prescott. So that will be something that we monitor, of course, and we'll see how it all goes. Now, as far as some of these names that we have here on Twitter on 97.5 for players that got away with Justin Jefferson coming into town, players that got away, Pretzel Poppy says, we could have had Paul Pierce, but instead drafted Larry Hughes.
There was another player around there, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Are you going to mention that?
MC Tentalucci follows it up and says, or Dirk Nowitzki.
I thought it was Dirk, yeah.
Travesty.
To pair with Allen Iverson.
Yeah. Or at least you go Paul Pierce. Not many people knew Dirk was going to be Dirk. Paul Pierce came in with the reputation. He thought it was going to be a top three pick in that draft.
From Kansas, yeah.
For whatever reason, he slid. And he slid all the way down to the Sixers. They decided to pass him up. He goes to Boston, has a Hall of Fame career, as we know. That's a tough one.
Yeah, it hurts. Because there was two. It's not, and listen, nobody knew who Dirk was at that time, or for most, but when you see two guys better than your guy drafted shortly after,
it's, that was a tough one.
It's a tough pill to swallow.
Matt Albertson says, Jeff Jackson, they drafted. Frank Thomas was there. And he sent the two cards, their tops. The score baseball cards from 1990. Jeff Jackson, Frank Thomas.
The Big Hurt. One of my favorite players growing up.
Big Hurt.
Dude had so much power.
Yes, he did.
Now he's Got so much power off the field, too, if you watch those commercials.
Yeah, no doubt. A Blount, 45, says, my pick is Paul Pierce. Larry Hughes over Paul. Damn, what could have been? So that's another one. A lot in terms of the NFL. One is Reggie Wayne, movie fan, TV movie fan, 30. Do you know who they drafted over Reggie Wayne?
Freddie Mitchell.
That is Fred Mitchell.
X. What was the quote? I just want to thank God.
I just want to thank my hands.
Was that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
After the 4th and 26?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just want to thank my hands. All right, so it wasn't just Reggie Wayne in that draft with the wide receivers. Freddie, I love you. If you're listening, you know you're my guy. We always talk, and we always have some good, candid conversations about stuff. Reggie Wayne was right after him. Chris Chambers, right after.
The Dolphins for a while, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Chris Chambers is good.
Real nice.
Steve Smith.
Yep.
A couple of rounds later. And Chad Johnson in the same draft, second round.
They're all really good receivers. And
they were all pro wide receivers. At one point or another, they were all pro wide receivers.
Top of the game. And listen, Freddie Mitchell had his moments.
Or pro bowlers, however you want to see it. Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, Freddie had his moments. And
look, but not as many moments.
Yeah, and of course, it's what it is because of how the careers have turned out. But yes, guys that got away. So it wasn't just Reggie Wayne in that draft. It was Chris Chambers, Chad Johnson, Steve Smith, and who was the other one that we just said? Chris Chambers, Chad Johnson, Steve Smith.
And Reggie Wayne.
And Reggie Wayne, yeah. So, there you go. That was that.
Yeah, definitely getting bummed out with this conversation. You
know, yeah. Just trying to help out.
Is that what you're doing?
Trying to help out. Okay. All right. 610-632-0975. We come right back. We update you on the Phils. We keep the Eagles conversation going, and we'll keep running some names that we have here on Twitter, and maybe pull some more out of our hat and let you know what's going on in the Prime Video NFL Thursday night game, because not a lot of people have Prime Video. You might have Prime, Amazon Prime, but do you have Prime Video where you're able to watch the game? Well, I'm sure we'll have some people who complain about that. And we'll keep it going as we go until 10, 9:45 leftovers with Tom Alvord, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
831 97.5 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. Hanging out with you on this Thursday. Phils baseball, Thursday night football. We know you're watching and listening to us all at the same time, so we appreciate you listening while watching those two games, because you have multiple televisions, or one television and one computer screen, whatever you're doing to watch the games. We appreciate you hanging out with us. At this time, Phils again trail 4-1 in the top of the 7th. This game is moving pretty quickly here, with how things are going. But, yeah, 4-1 right now in Miami for the Phils. Hopefully they can get things going and try to get these runs and sweep this series. But if not, they did win the series overall, just going for the sweep at the moment. We also had some audio, as we mentioned, from John Clark with Daryl Morey on his podcast. And with this podcast, he was talking about the player, the mindset of the player, and having to be a specific type of player to play here in town. So we wanted to let you hear what John Clark and Daryl Morey talked about. We spoke about it briefly with Anthony Gargano a little bit earlier, but we want to let you hear it. Let you make up your own mind on what he's saying, and do you believe what Daryl Morey is saying? Here is Daryl Morey with John Clark.
from your time here in Philly, what's been the biggest surprise? And then also the thing that where it just kind of cements what you thought about coming here to Philadelphia.
I'd say the biggest surprise are the players who can't play here. It's actually not helpful to me. Like, I really, like, the more options I have, the better. But I do think I'm starting to learn, and I do love it about Philadelphia because I do think it gets the best out of our team, and I've seen it with not only our team, but the Eagles and the Phillies. And I never understood this being in Houston when people would say, oh, you need to have a special mindset to play in Philly. You need to have a special mindset maybe to play in New York, although I think that's less true. Honestly, I can only speak to Philadelphia because I've been here now. I do think I really do pay attention to the mindset of the players and can they handle playing in Philadelphia, because I do think it's a different thing.
I am who I am. It is what it is.
Perfect. Perfect one, Tom, of who can and who cannot. So, and again, that's from John Clark's podcast with Daryl Morey. The first thing is, you think about it, well, I do, and then we'll get to the phones and we'll get to Mark and everybody else, 610-632-0975, get Tom's thoughts on this as well. The first thing I look at is Daryl Morey being an outsider, but an East Coast guy, because he's from Cleveland, spent a lot of time in Boston before he went to Houston, and now he's back here. So does he really have a good pulse of what this city is, and how long does it take it? Now, this is going to be his third year running the Sixers as the president of basketball operations. Tad Brown in here also, and I think Tad is in here for two seasons, or this will be his second season, Tad Brown. Doc Rivers, same time with Daryl Morey for 3 years. And as an outsider, does he really know what it's like to be, you know, to have that feeling again of understanding what a player from elsewhere, knowing what this fan base is like, what they ask of their players and demand of their players? Does he really know what it means as he says it? And I kind of look back and I kind of sit back and I say, all right, he kind of does. Now, is it just because he went out there and got PJ Tucker, Montrezl Harrell, Daniel House, DeAnthony Melton, who are supposed to be technically tough guys, you know, we have that rugged style? Being here for that many years, you know, I would say that he has a good sense of it, because it really doesn't take long for anybody. A visitor can come in here a couple of times and say, all right, those people are crazy. But can you play in front of those people? And that's where Daryl Morey, with Elton Brand, who has been here much longer as a player, understands it from that perspective, and then as an executive, of knowing what type of player can really deal with this type of city, playing in this city. He's not wrong. You just played the Ben Simmons piece. There are other players that we've seen in all sports where we're just like, yeah, it's not me. They told us themselves when they decided that. I don't think everyone was organizational. Like when J.D. Drew said, I'm not going in there. Yeah, it was probably because they were bad, but it was also because he didn't want to deal with the fan base knowing that they were bad. If he failed, they would come after him, the same deal. There were some football examples where he couldn't play in the city. Couldn't deal with the city. And you sit back and you say to yourself, this is where, and you know, Tyler and I get into this debate of like us, you're not one of us, was J.J. Redick one of us? He was only here for two seasons, but was he one of us? Seemed like it. Ben Simmons was here for longer, but was he one of us? Probably not. And that's where these executives have to really understand and figure out, are we seeing the same thing with Jalen Reagor? Was it that Jalen Reagor was just simply drafted in the wrong spot, therefore it all fell down and crumbled on him? Or was he drafted in the wrong spot, should have been able to succeed a little bit, at least become the third receiver, but in the end, he couldn't play here at all? and he had to be shipped out because he needed a fresh start. The Eagles needed a fresh start. And oh, by the way, he probably just simply could not play in this city. It's too much for him. So I thought it was an interesting take by Daryl Morey of one of the things that he surprised that he learned about players not wanting to play or not being able to play in this city. There have been plenty of times where we've had discussions, show topics of why don't players want to come here and play in this town? Well, maybe some of them can't take it. They can't. They don't want to deal with it. You only want to hear the cheers. You don't want to hear the other side, a good majority of athletes. The other ones set themselves apart because they can deal with both. They can accept the praise, but also they can take the criticism when it's warranted because they also know that they're not playing well. And just because it's being thrown on them doesn't mean that it's overall a terrible thing that it's being tossed at them. So I didn't mind what Daryl Morey said there with it because it's true. We've seen it plenty of times where we've had examples of players that just simply could not play in this city. What do you all think? 610-632-0975. What do you make of it, Tom? Before we get to the phones, talk to Mark to start things off. What do you make of those comments from Daryl Morey?
Yeah, well, first off, I think he's definitely warranted, even though he's only been here for, what, 3 years or whatever it is. He saw the most extreme example of that and had to deal with it firsthand when it came to Ben Simmons. All jokes aside, he actually did. That was a guy who had no interest in bettering himself, in both mentally and physically and on the court, had no interest in doing so, had no interest in becoming a better player, adapting and really testing himself and pushing himself to do something that maybe he didn't want to do. And he just flat out quit and had no interest in doing that. And we're not going to let that slide here in Philadelphia, especially when you're being paid a max contract. So he saw that here firsthand. So, yeah, I think he's right on with this point. I think you do have to be aware of the mental and what the actual makeup of the players that you are planning on bringing in. It's not as easy as playing Madden or playing NBA where just, oh, this guy is really good. He's a really good player. He has a high rating. I'm going to bring him in. There's no issues with that. No, it's not that simple. There's chemistry things to worry about and worry about coming in here and playing in a big market, in a tough city, quote unquote, to an extent, like Philadelphia. And listen, we get the national bad rep and all that. Everyone can't wait to throw stones at Philadelphia. But when you hear some of the things that Bryce Harper and Jason Kelce say, and even like I remember when the Alec Boehm thing was going on, Nick Castellanos was quick to come to the defense of Philadelphia. Now he's very new at the time. Doug Glanville, I remember, tweeted something out that was pro-Philadelphia. It isn't hard to play here as long as you are doing all you can and doing 100% to make yourself better, learning from your mistakes, adapting from your mistakes, and holding yourself up to the standard that we do of you here in Philadelphia. So, yeah, I think Morey was right on. I think it's good to hear that from a GM, not just throwing shade at Simmons, which I think he probably was doing a little bit there. But
I didn't really take it like that.
No?
Nah.
I did.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Not that he wasn't somewhere in there intertwined in what he was saying, but not necessarily throwing shade at him.
I think.
You think so?
If that's what you learn about being here in Philadelphia. Some people can't play here.
Yeah, I'm not going to say you're wrong.
I just like to hear my GM be aware of that, especially when it's with a team that is in a win now mode that we won a championship or bust here in Philadelphia within the next, 3 years, if you will.
Yeah. Since he has that, of course, and maybe John Clark did follow up and ask, I didn't hear the podcast. I just saw the clip and heard it. And then we just played it. When did you know? I guess would be one, like what was discussed. If you maybe had a discussion with somebody to give an example. You don't have to call out the player, but give an example of when you knew said player. You're like, yeah, he might not be a Philadelphia guy. And again, this is coming from a Cleveland guy. Cleveland, Philadelphia, a little bit different. Houston is different. Boston, similar. But, yeah, when did you know? Give me an example. No, Daryl Morey, you know. Yeah, hey, Daryl, give me an example of when you knew and why you knew that was the case with some of the players.
So you would have had a follow-up question is what you're
saying. Yeah, and I'm not saying that he didn't because I didn't listen to the podcast. He may very well have. But yeah, I would have been very, very interested to find out. Like who?
I'm curious your thoughts, and this is just kind of out of the blue. Do you appreciate having a GM as honest as Daryl Morey?
Because I do.
You do? Because
yeah,
I do too.
I do.
But I don't think everybody does. I think some people are like, why are you putting all this business out here? Keep it behind the scenes. That why do you want other teams hearing that? But with him coming on this station and talking multiple times with everything, how active he is on social media, mm-hmm. I kind of like it because it connects to the fans a little bit. And as long as you're doing your job and doing a good job, which he has done here since he's been here, other than, you know, a couple pieces here or there not working. Like, who was the backup point guard they brought into
here? George Hill?
Yes, George Hill. Thank you. Other than George Hill, who just completely forgot how to play basketball here, Daryl Morey's been really good. So I appreciate the honesty.
And again, just because he didn't play well doesn't mean it wasn't a good move. They needed a backup point guard.
At the time, yeah.
He was that. So,
but you do appreciate the
honesty. I do appreciate the honesty. I really do. I like his delivery of how he says stuff. I like that. The only thing I've ever had a problem with is just talking to people in the league over the years where it's Daryl having a reputation of teams not necessarily wanting to work with him because they don't like how he works.
Yeah, that's an issue. Yeah. I mean, we've heard similar things about Howie Roseman when
sure.
he came to agents and
yeah.
stuff like that.
But you can find ways to work around it because also a big part of it is the agents. So, yeah, but I do like the honesty. I like the upfront approach that he has about things. He thinks about what he says. And sometimes when he doesn't, he's still like, yeah, I'm just going to say it anyway. Or he'll be like, oh, maybe I shouldn't say that and turn it around. So he acknowledges that he may have gone too far, but I do appreciate it. I do.
Do you think Philadelphia as a whole appreciates it? Philadelphia fans, that is, appreciate it, or do you think they're more of? Because I think they do in this new era of
I think
sports.
They do. I think they do, and the reason why I think they do in partnership with Doc Rivers is because of how Doc Rivers handles his. So I think they appreciate how Morey does on the other end.
Whether you like it or not.
Exactly. Rivers says it like that. Morey will say it a little bit differently. So, yeah, I think people would appreciate it. Yep. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Mark and Conshohocken and get Mark's thoughts on the Sixers, maybe on the audio that he just heard. Mark.
Hey, Devon. Happy Thursday to you.
Same to you, man. Thank you.
So, I was going to apologize from diverting from the Eagles to the Sixers, but my call was timely. You guys are talking about it. But I haven't spoken with you since they signed Montrezl Harrell and had a couple thoughts on that.
Well, I liked it. If you've heard me in the past, Mark, I know we've communicated because you would check in on Twitter versus the phone. And I pointed out how much I like it because I, number one, thought they still needed a backup five to challenge both Paul Reed and Charles Bassey for some of those minutes. I didn't expect it to be Montrezl Harrell because of the initial issues that he was having off the floor with the court appearances and all. I didn't know how all that was going to play out. And I figured they would jump on one of the other veteran big men before everything came to finalization with his situation, Montrezl Harrell. But the player, Harrell, I like him. He's not a defender, but he is rugged. So, you know, if that's effort and you're into it, you like the team and all that stuff, you'll give a little bit more effort there. He can score better than Drummond and Howard as a backup. In the past, not that I didn't like them for what they provided, but I do like that Montrezl Harrell can score. He has familiarity with Doc Rivers, James Harden, Tobias Harris from his time with the Clippers and the Houston Rockets. So I appreciate the familiarity there with those players and coach. And he just is one of those tough guys that when you watch him playing against the Sixers on the other end, he gets on your nerves and now he's on your squad. So I like it.
So I think I'm leaning towards liking the pick. You know, he definitely is a fine backup. You know, he can score. I value his defense a little bit more than you. And he absolutely brings a toughness, which I like. The part that has me a little bit cautious, or not even cautious, the part that had me maybe slightly disappointed was I think Paul Reed might have a higher ceiling. And I'm now at the
point. Well, he has a better ceiling because he's only been in a year league for 3 years. Montrezl Harrell is who he is. Could Paul Reed be better?
Yeah, but I'm convinced now we're never going to get to see Paul Reed's ceiling in a Sixers uniform. I think Doc doesn't quite care for him so much. And if Paul wouldn't have delivered and they made the trade at the deadline, then I would have been, you know, more amenable to it. But I think pretty much what they're saying is we don't believe in Paul Reed.
Might be true. I hope that they give him an opportunity. I really do. Hope they give him an opportunity to see exactly what he can do with maybe some more minutes for him. I really would like to see that. I really would.
The other thing, Devon, is...
And I also think he might be a four better than a five. He can play five in small ball situations.
Him, you know, if somebody goes down with an injury, doc, now we got a lot of bodies at the four.
A bunch of them.
Tobias, if someone gets an injury, I hope they can get Paul in rotation at the four. D. Lynam says he can shoot the three from seeing him in the summer league.
Yeah, he just has a funky release when you watch him, Mark. He has a real funky release, and you wonder if they'll ever, you know, defenders are real crafty and they catch up to where that quick release is coming from. Will they be able to do something with it? So I want to see it on the pro level. I know we've seen it there in the G League and in the summer league, but I want to see it up here too.
Yeah, I mean, the distance is the same, but the environment's very different.
Yeah, the players is totally different. They close out faster, their hands are quicker, all that stuff. Yep.
The other thing with the Harrell signing is we're two spots over now, and I imagine Queen is going to be on the outs. That's pretty much a done deal. But then when you look at the other spot, I'm wondering if you have any thoughts. I know Isaiah Joe's not guaranteed money.
No, he's not.
I'm wondering if you think Isaiah's seen the end of the road.
I would say look at Isaiah Joe, look at Charles Bassey a little bit and his non-guaranteed money. And Trevlin Queen is, I think he's on a two-way, but I don't think it's all guaranteed in general.
So can we talk, do you have any time left to talk about the ones that got away?
Sure, give us one.
So I got two, but one doesn't count because you already said it. That was the first one that came to mind was Weber or Penny. I think it would have ended up Weber because I think Orlando wanted
Penny.
And they only traded him because they knew the Sixers were going to take Bradley.
Well, I would take Chris Weber over Clarence Weatherspoon any day.
Hell yeah. the other one's a bit complicated. It would be easy to say Brad Daugherty, but I would have never traded Moses that same day. So I would have kept Moses, and I would have taken Len Bias. And if you think about the butterfly effect, who knows? Maybe Len Bias is in Philadelphia that night instead of back home with his buddies. And I just can't imagine a front court of Bias, Barkley, and Moses.
For sure. That's one that always comes up when players that got away. Mark, thanks as always, man. Good to hear from you. Really appreciate it as always. Yes, Moses and Brad Daugherty getting away. Absolutely. All right, 610-632-0975. We get John's thoughts on playing in Philadelphia after the remarks made by Daryl Morey on the John Clark podcast with him. So we'll get to all of that. We'll keep it going on the other side. We'll update you on the Philadelphia Phillies. 610-632-0975. Leftovers, 9:45. Tom Alvord will find out what we may have missed. We'll get to it all. 97.5, The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens. 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
9 o'clock, 97.5 The Fanatic on this Thursday night. Phils 4-2 still trailing in the bottom of the seventh right now. Looks like Bilotti is on the mound. Two men on, two outs. Let's see if he can get out of this jam. and see what they can do in the eighth, top of the eighth, and try to even this thing up. If not, take the lead. 610-632-0975. Chiefs and Chargers, 10-7 right now is the score. Chargers went up 10-0, and then the Chiefs came back and went pretty quickly. I don't know, 3 minutes and 19 seconds, 7 plays, 75 yards to get their score. So there you have it, 10-7. And not the guys that you would have expected. Not the guys you would have expected.
Anybody would have expected.
So I was looking at some, and Tyler's going off because he's like his running back that he drafted. I know he drafted Austin Eckler. You know, nothing like it when your running back gets on the 1 yard line and they figure out that they can't, you know, get it over the goal line. So as a result, Xander Horvath. Yes, you had him in your same game parlay, didn't you?
Sure. We'll go with that.
Caught a 1 yard touchdown from Justin Herbert to make it 10-0. And the 7 plays and 75 yards, 3 minutes and 19 seconds for the Kansas City Chiefs to counter that score from Xander Horvath. Who did you think it was? Travis Kelce?
Yeah, Clyde Edwards-Hilaire. Mecole Hardman, even. He's been there for a while. Am I right?
Jerick McKinnon, who has been there.
Yes. Is a backup.
Is the backup running back.
Third down back.
He scored on a 9 yard pass.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
So Horvath, is that how you say it?
Horvath.
And McKinnon.
And McKinnon.
You had those guys in your same game parlay.
Boy, you already cashed in.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. So that's the score right now. Very early. Started the second quarter, 11 minutes and 38 seconds. That's the score at this time right now, 10-7. And I think Kansas City had the ball first, so L.A. will get the ball coming out and start things in the third quarter. So we'll keep you up to date on that. I know a lot of people don't have Prime Video, so you can't watch it.
We'll be your Prime Video.
Have you been able to catch up to it? I haven't been able to catch up to it. Prime Video.
What, for tonight's game or just in general?
I didn't even try. I should have tried, but no.
I thought about it and just having it like on the side, but I didn't want to be too distracted. Yeah. Or got the Phillies over here.
Yeah, so all I have right now is the GameCast on ESPN.
That's what I'm using, too.
Using GameCast.
Not as fun.
You know what's fun, too? On Sunday, I think it's Sunday night. Sunday night or Monday night? I think it's Sunday night. If you can't watch it, if you are ever around Yahoo Sports, they have it on live on Yahoo Sports. I think it's Sunday, though. Sunday Night Football.
I think I did know that, actually.
Yes. Yep.
I don't know why, but I feel like I've watched it like on the road somewhere, and I saw it. I was like, oh, this is pretty sweet.
Yep.
No clue how it works, but hey.
I know how it works on Sunday night. Tap into it. That's all you have to do.
Yeah,
it's not that hard. That's all you have to do. Yeah, 610-632-0975. All right, before we get to the Eagles again and get back to all of that, John had something on actors playing in Philadelphia, so I wanted to get his thoughts on just that. So let's do so with John here on 97.5, The Fanatic. John, how you doing? Yo, John.
So I feel like Daryl Morey was right. A lot of people can't play in Philadelphia. I don't think it's just Philly. I think it's more of a northeastern region in totality. But I think a bunch of things play into it. Personally, I believe it has a lot to do with money. I believe because these players were getting paid absurd amounts of money to play basketball, baseball, football, whatever, to play a game. And at that point, like, when you take that money to play, like, yeah, we know that you are a top athlete in the world, but it is now your job. And all these northeastern league are like cities in the country are mainly blue collar towns where people work hard to put food on the table and have money and whatever, and they expect the same from their athletes. I'm not saying all athletes, but a lot of athletes, once they get paid, think, well, I can stop working as hard. I got paid. Clearly, I'm good enough, and there's not really much of my game that I have to work on. And Philadelphia is one of those towns where we're not going to accept that. And I also think it's at the same time, a social issue kind of thing, where most of these mentally tough athletes and other things are from inner cities where they grew up having nothing and they had to work hard to get where they are, and they're going to keep working, and just being where they are isn't good enough for them. And also, Philadelphia is a very educated sports town. We know our sports, and you're not good. We're going to see through all the BS, and we know what we're looking at. So you're not going to fool us, and we expect you to work hard, to better yourself, to better our team, and win a championship. And I like, not everybody's cut from that cloth. And around all sports in general, you could see people from Philadelphia have that mentality. I mean, I'll use an example of Kobe Bryant with the Mamba mentality. Well, that Mamba mentality is a Philadelphia mentality. You know what I mean? Like, he grew up here, and he was in the gym every day. He was a gym rat. He strived for perfection, and he wasn't going to let anybody tell him that he was great and just be okay with that. Like, he always wanted to get better. And
right.
That's just what Philadelphia is. And a lot of athletes just can't handle that pressure.
A lot of them cannot. They really cannot. And I agree with you, John, because I do think Daryl Morey was spot on with what he said. This is a tough place to play, and I'm glad that he's able to identify that as the one who's making the decisions to go out there and acquire those players, whether via trade or free agency, that, and even in the draft, where you hopefully hopefully see it soon enough where you can make that decision and say, all right, this is not the way for us to go.
Right, and also at the same time, let's not pretend that this whole thing is a bad thing either, because, I mean, look at T.J. McConnell. He is not a good basketball. He is not an all-star. But Philadelphia loved him.
Yeah.
Why? Because he worked his butt off.
Yeah, hard nose.
And he was just in your face as a defender. Every time he stepped on that floor, he gave you everything he had, and you knew he was trying his hardest. And that's all we asked for.
Right. Yep, absolutely, man. Well, listen, John, thanks for the call. Oh, by the way, before we let you go, we were asking, since Justin Jefferson is coming into town on Monday, players that got away.
For any kind of reason?
Any of the teams, any player that got away, somebody you wish was here, it did not happen for whatever reason.
DC, Chris Carter.
Ah, he was here and got away. Great call, John. Thanks, man. Really appreciate it. And all they call it, basically what they would say about Chris Carter was all he did was catch touchdowns. That's it. All he did was catch touchdowns. He had great hands. He was dealing with some off-the-field issues at the time. He says that Buddy Ryan did the best thing for him, which was to cut him. Found himself getting his situation fixed, wound up with the Minnesota Vikings, and went on to have a Hall of Fame career. Great football player. Great one, John. Thanks for the call. Chris Carter is a really good name. Players that got away.
It's an underrated one because he was here and played here.
Yep.
And people just think of the missed opportunity, whether it's a missed trade, missed free agent signing, whatever it may be. How about this one? How about Shea Weber, the Nashville Predators? So they tried the defenseman. They sign him, agree to him, but I believe he was a restricted free agent at the time. So Nashville had the opportunity to match it, and they did. Signed him for a long-term contract, and yeah, I know a lot of Flyers fans that day and that year and since then and today also are not happy about that missed opportunity there.
That's a pretty good one. Shea Weber.
I know we're not trying to talk much Flyers, not just me and you, but everybody okay. In the city.
There's some pretty good hockey ones out there. I saw some on 97.5 The Fanatic. Let me see. What was the one I gave you during the break?
Yager? Was that what it was?
Nah, it was, let me see. I'll pull it up here before we get back to
the while you're looking for it.
Number eight for the Avalanche.
Oh, Cal McCarr. Yes, in the Nolan Patrick draft.
Two people gave McCarr.
And I said, if you look at the guys drafted after Cal McCarr, after Nolan Patrick, there's you got like Elias Pettersson, who's really good for the Canucks, Miro Heiskanen. So, yeah, they missed a ton of opportunity there. Also, Patrick Kane, the year that they had the worst record in the NHL.
JVR.
They end up getting the number two pick and not winning the lottery. And Patrick Kane's one of the greatest forwards that we've seen in the last 20
years. And beat the Flyers in the Stanley Cup.
And that's just the cherry on top.
Yes, he did.
Still don't know how that goal went in.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. JVR.
Awesome.
Twice. Twice with JVR, too. Cal McCarr. Bobrovsky, he won the two Vezina trophies after he got away.
They trade him for Vezina, Mason
trophies as he got away. Jaromir Jagr, Brandon gives that one with McCarr and a basketball player who will remain nameless. CD also says McCarr. We already gave you the Paul Pierce, Dirk. We have a couple of that those here. Let me see. Eric, Flyers junkie, Peter Forsberg.
Well, I guess the
Eric Lindros.
Yeah, the Eric Lindros trade. Yeah, but I mean, you had to do it. Back.
Yeah, and he still got you to the cup. You just didn't win it. Eric Lindros was the real deal.
Yeah, just concussions. Yeah,
yeah. Benny Fazio, Brad Daugherty, Locke Diesel, John. 1990 Flyers drafted Mike.
Mark Recchi.
It's Mike. R-I-C-C-I.
Mike Recchi. What?
That's why yeah, I'm getting it's confused.
Mike, right?
Recchi was... All right, well, we'll look at the 90s.
Yeah,
we'll look
I'm at confusing the 90s myself
draft.
Now.
One pick ahead of some dude named Jagr. So it's probably not Mark Recchi. It's Mike Recchi.
Gotcha.
Ahead of Jagr. And we also have Brandon, who had Jagr in there, too. One that got away. Living underscore loving, Warren Sapp. Mike Mamula, Warren Sapp. That's a good one. Who else gave that? Jim gave that one, too. Let me look up the 1990 NHL draft, because...
Something that I was not expecting you to say tonight. Not going to lie.
Let me see. Peter Nedved was second. Owen Nolan was first. Let's see. Mike Recchi. Four. Jaromir Jagr. Five. Keith Primo. Third. Yeah. So Mike Recchi. Ahead of Jaromir Jagr. Played 1,099 games. 243 goals. 362 assists. 605 points. Guess his last season was 2006-2007. This was the 90 draft.
Which is a nice career. But when you compare it to...
Jagr,
who's
played 1,733 games, 766 goals, 500-plus more goals, 1,155 assists. Whew.
I mean, you're talking top five, top 10 player of all time. Yeah.
But that's the point.
Yeah,
that one got away.
Yes, it did.
And 1,921 points to the 605 of Mike Recchi. Recchi. There you go. Ah, definitely got away.
That hurts.
Definitely got away. Let's go back to the phone, 610-632-0975. Gabe is on the cell with us here on 97.5. What's up, Gabe?
What's up, Devon? Been a minute. What's going on, dude?
Oh, not much, man. How you been?
Pretty chilling, man. You know, just traveling, DJing, you know, living the dream right now.
That's right, man. Keep living it up.
I'm loving it. But, you know, I had to call in because it's a point that I've been meaning to talk to you about ever since, you know, week one on Sunday. It's pretty much just, you know, our defense. And I feel like we've given Jonathan Gannon the keys to a car we're not sure that he can drive. And, like, I was thinking about it. I wanted to pose a question to you. So, say, for example... You know, it's week five, and we've gone through five games already. And this defense has given up a ton of points, like a ton of points. But we're winning. Do you still potentially either let him go or reevaluate him, or do you just keep churning with him and hope that the offense keeps up the pace that it goes? Because I've been thinking to myself that I'm like, you know, we gave up 35 points to the Lions, but we also scored 38, so we really can't complain. But it's not going to be like that every week. And if we catch breaks where we're giving up 30-plus points, but we're also scoring, you know, 35-plus points, you know, is it still concern for, you know, cause for worry? Or do we kind of just, you know, count our blessings and you know, just be happy that we're still scoring points? I want to get your thought on that.
It's tough, man, because we say oftentimes on the show, you say, how did it happen? So I guess it's really as we watch it and see how those things come down to your point of really how did it happen? Where you are talking about, you know, the defense putting up, allowing all these points. Is it late in the game? Is it just throughout the game? You know what I'm saying?
So yeah, I get that. It's different factors. I get that.
Yeah, so I guess it's more of how it happened. But look, man, we've been talking about it as of late. What if they go into the bye week 4-2, but his defense is giving up like 25 points a game and they're really having to fight, you know, fight it all. That's part right. of a how did it happen kind of deal where maybe they do go into off season. I mean, in the bye week and say, all right, enough is enough.
Yeah, right. Get something like, I know everyone's clamoring for Vic Fangio, but I mean, hey, it's worth a shot. If it, you know, through the bye week, if we're giving up, you know, crazy amount of points, but our offense keeps having to bail us out, it's still a strain on the offense to have to come in and bail us out every time.
Yeah.
So I just think it's definitely something worth looking at. But I'm afraid because I genuinely think that this is probably one of the best defenses that we've had in recent history, and we don't know if we have a coordinator that can legitimately scheme enough to be able to put these guys in the right places to succeed.
Big test this weekend.
For sure. For sure.
Test this weekend, Monday night, against Justin Jefferson, Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook, for sure. Yep.
Anxious to see how it turns out, man.
No doubt about it, man. A player that may have gotten away from the city, Justin Jefferson coming in town. He got away. Player that got away.
Yeah, so the first person that sprung to my mind, because I just, you know, I grew up loving basketball so much, was Tracy McGrady. And just thinking about, you know, how that deal fell apart because of, you know, the, you know, Stephen A. Smith and all that stuff that happened. But just like growing up watching Iverson and McGrady battle each other, you know, for the scoring title was just, you know, a sight to see. But I just think of just like, you know, imagine if both of them were on the same team and we were just, you know, going to battle with both of them. Like that's just, to me, that's just one that really got away that it's just, it would have changed the landscape of Sixers basketball had he been in town hooping with Iverson.
It most definitely would have been a fun 1-2 punch, man. Thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Gabe. Phillies, by the way, Bryce Harper strikes out with a man on third with two outs. It was, I think it was a 1-2 count, and he literally cut it on that one, trying to, as he does, swing violently, and he struck out to end the inning. And I think it was second and third with no outs.
First and second.
First and second.
And it was a double play. Guy goes to third with two outs.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
But still, a missed opportunity.
How did they not get something there? Maton. Looks like he did something, so people were talking on Twitter about how he's a player. And, yeah, he's a nice utility player. He's a nice role player.
Something that they haven't had in forever, it feels like, homegrown role players that have come up and contributed. A lot of the young guys this year. And Boehm, Stott, Suarez is still a young player. You have a guy like Brogdon who's been struggling lately. Nick Maton. It's nice to have these under-the-radar young guys that are helping this team, which you need if you're going to make a run.
And the one guy that has a name already at the age of 19 is Andrew Painter, and all he does is get moved up, and he's just still dealing at the age of 19 years of age. And Jason Stark is saying, might be up there a little bit sooner than if you hear him on with the best show ever. Are you talking about, could this guy maybe be fast-tracked? It's not impossible. We've seen it in Major League Baseball all the time. We just don't see it here. Guy might be able to help next season. May not be a starter, but he might be able to help next season. Maybe.
It seems like that's the plan. And this guy is universally loved when it comes to prospects. I know people hate on the Phillies farm system and even this one to an extent that they have right this second. But when you look at the top of it and specifically with Andrew Painter, I mean, this guy has top of the rotation stuff, ace type potential. I worry a bit about fast-tracking a guy at 19 years old, and I worry a little bit about the expectations when it comes to a win now team, what you're really expecting, because most likely he doesn't come up till like September of next year. Does he have a rotation spot at that point? You hope not, unless he's kicking someone out, which you would love. There's always an innings limit thing, so, but that's decisions for the people up top. That's decisions for Dave Dombrowski to make, but it is exciting to have a big-time arm, two of them, Abel as well, but him specifically and Painter in the farm system, finally.
Man,
haven't had it in a while.
It's good to see that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It really is. It really is. By the way, that first touchdown that we talked about a little bit earlier from Harvath?
Whatever you say.
Horvath.
Horvath.
We both were wrong.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't, because he scored. I was looking at something here because they were talking about the odds, and apparently the odds were first touchdown score plus 4,000 for Horvath.
You know, someone's taken.
Someone did it.
Yeah, someone's out there.
There's no way that no one decided to, hey, ha ha ha, let's put some money on Horvath
first. You give me $5, I'll pay $5. Let's put $10 on it. Win $400. Pay for half your rent this month.
Yeah, and by the way, great pass from Patrick Mahomes in the red zone to get the McKinnon touchdown. As we know with him, he'll do stuff sidearm.
Arm angles.
And he did just that to hit. He scrambled right, you know, moved a little bit. And McKinnon did not stay still. He kept moving, finding a little spot, and he found it. And great play, great throw.
Doesn't shock me in the slightest.
None whatsoever. None whatsoever. All right, 610-632-0975. We got our final segment on the other side, as we will have our leftovers at 9:45 with Tom Alvord. Wrap the show up, kind of refresh the things that we discussed and talked about throughout the show to start things off at 7 o'clock. So we'll get to some of that and touch on one little side thing I saw to see where Tom and maybe some others are thinking about, and we'll throw out a few more of these names that people have here on Twitter before we step away for the evening. If you want to get a last-minute phone call in, 610-632-0975. I'm Devon Givens with you for one more segment on this Thursday night of Football Thursday and Phillies Thursday also here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, looks like the Phils are going to be in for a tough one here tonight. It just doesn't look like they're going to be able to get this one done. So let's see how things go here. With are they in the ninth? Top of the ninth? Going to try to extend this thing. They got an insurance run, Miami did. And if that one holds up, then the Phils will lose this one 5-2. We'll see if they can get some things going. The man at the plate is, you know, the hottest Philly going at JT Realmuto, but he's had a tough night. So I'm not sure exactly how things are going to go. Just to go around Major League Baseball here briefly, before we step away, San Diego, the team that you really only have to worry about on the schedule tonight, they are in Arizona to take on the Diamondbacks. That's a 9:40 start, so they'll get underway in about 9 minutes. And let's see if Arizona can just continue to help out the Philadelphia Phillies and beat the San Diego Padres. Houston and Oakland tied 2-2 on the bottom of the sixth. The Mets are up 6-1 in the top of the seventh on the Pirates. St. Louis trails Cincinnati 3-1 in the top of the seventh. Kansas City, Minnesota. Minnesota with a 3-2 advantage right now in the bottom of the sixth. And two finals already. Tampa went to Toronto and defeated the Blue Jays 11-0. And the Chicago White Sox traveled to Cleveland to defeat the Guardians 8-2. I still have to get used to calling them the Guardians, to be perfectly honest with you. Really have to get used to that.
I forget. Between them, I do the same. Between them and Washington.
That's why I just say the Washington football team. It's easier to me.
It's cooler. It's a cooler name.
And so. I used to say it when they were an old nickname.
Yeah.
So I just say Washington football team.
I noticed that earlier. I didn't know if you did it by mistake. But
nah, I've been doing that for years.
I think it's a cooler name. I do.
The football team?
Yeah, it's just...
It's totally different. You just call them the football team.
Yeah, it's something unique. Rather than commander, like, I don't even know what a commander is.
Commander-in-chief.
It's not as cool as a football team.
Nah.
In my eyes.
Nah, I agree with you. Chargers up 10-7 at the half over Kansas City. Both teams
low
scored a touchdown in the second quarter. That is odd. That is odd, isn't it?
Doesn't shock me.
No, it doesn't, but it seems like, I thought this one would be some fireworks.
It's one of those where it's so hyped up, everyone can't wait. Someone on ESPN earlier today said it's going to be like that Chiefs-Rams game from like 4 years ago when it was like 56-50. When you get that much hype about a game, especially a game on a short week, I always kind of temper my expectations. Like, all right, it's not going to live up. At least points-wise to expectations.
Yes.
Still, it's probably going to be a close finish and we're going to have an awesome fourth quarter.
Yeah, I'd imagine. Because we don't have it in here to watch the game. I'd imagine that it's a decent game, though, defensively. I'd imagine right now, 10-7. I would think.
I mean, anytime you got Horvath scoring a touchdown, that's just must-watch TV to me.
Yes, it is. So. Yes, it is. That's what you Horvath. Get on Thursday Night Football, prime video. You get Horvath as the star of the game. All right, let me share this one with you. I don't know how true this is or how real this video is. I just saw it. I was like, what is going on? Did you see the video of the in Scotland, Northern Ireland? There appeared to be a large meteor spotted. Did you see that video?
I saw like a news article or a screenshot, but I didn't see the video.
You didn't see the video?
No.
Ah, yes. Send it to you right now to your DM. Because I was like, is this real? It looks real. I know what technology is, but it looks real. Dude. I see your name. It keeps jumping back as I try to click on your name. How about I just type your name in?
I got it right.
How about I just type it in? Oh, you looked it up?
Yeah. Okay. I just typed in meteorite.
Okay. See the video?
Maybe this isn't the right one, though.
It's over a house. It looks kind of weird because it disappears into like the clouds. And then you don't see it, just goes away.
It looks more like a UFO to me.
You see it?
Yeah, I see it. It's like the blue light. He goes by the house.
Yeah, over top of the house?
Yeah, that looks more like a UFO to me. I don't know, though. Space freaks me out, so. Much like crocodiles. I'm not a big crocodile guy, not a big reptile guy. Space, it's not for me.
Yeah.
I'll leave that to the...
Let me make sure you have the right video. I imagine you would, but let me give you...
Yeah, just send it just in case.
Just in case, because I was like, whoa. Wow. Not that we haven't heard of meteors and, you know, all that stuff before, that they might be out there.
But okay, I was looking at the wrong video.
Wrong video? Now, you see that?
Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah.
Yeah. See how it disappears in the clouds?
I'm out. O-U-T. Out.
Yeah. You scared of space?
Yeah, it's too big, man. I don't know.
It's too much going on?
Too much unknown.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Do you believe in that?
What?
Unknown?
Yeah.
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 I have my thoughts too. Yeah, I have my thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, it's too big of an area, you know,
for there not to be
correct.
Anything.
Yeah, there's too many unknowns in this world. So, I don't really care. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't make me anxious. Space, no. Though, but like that stuff don't bother me.
See, I like I like stuff like that, where we have to find out about it in terms of the documentaries, the stories, and all that go with it. But to your point, I don't want to find out in the way where, oh, they're here or anything like that. I'm all about you do the research. I'll decide if I want to believe it or not. I'll make my own conclusions. I'll come to my own conclusions on this. And that's about it. That's what I'll do. Because, yeah, I don't want to run into anybody. I don't want to see anything. I'm cool on that part. Because we don't know anything about them. Anything. Like how you know, do they have strength? Are they fast? And you know, what kind of stuff they got going. I'm with you on that one. I definitely with you on that one. I kind of step away and stay away from that stuff. Do the research. I'll look at your documentary and find out that way. Yes, that's what I'll do. Find out that way. But no, I saw that meteor and I was like, oh, okay. Okay, where did it go? Where did it go? That was my thing. Where in the world did it go? But, all right, there's that. It went somewhere, decided on whatever. That's where it went. I'll watch a documentary, and that's it. That's what I'll do. That's what I'll do. I'll just watch a documentary. I don't want to see anything. I don't want to see anything walking near me at all. As far as the too much out there in space.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Just keep it to that.
Yeah, I want to find
keep
out.
Keep it tamed. That. There's only so much I want to know.
Again, all I want to know is do your documentary.
Yeah, that's it. Enjoy it.
I'm watching it on television, and I'll go from there. Oh, man. Let me get a couple of these tweets in here. It's an interesting one here. Craig Burrell Craig 30. MCW instead of Giannis. He was picked at 11. Giannis was picked at 15. You had two picks. You picked Nerlens at 6. You decided to go to point guard at 11. You had two picks in your rebuild. And if you are just beginning your rebuild, why not take a shot? You didn't take a shot at 15 with Giannis. One knew. But isn't that part of you just rebuilding?
Sure.
Taking your swings and see what you
find
out?
They did that a ton when it came to players overseas and stuff like that, stashing players. They did it with Dario for a couple of years.
Could have done it with this guy.
That's a little bit too much revisionist history for me because...
I guess the only reason is because you had two picks.
Yeah,
six
where you could
and
have.
11. It's not like you had 1 and 11. You had 6 and 11. Take the center who was talked about as the number one overall pick before the ACL injury at Kentucky. Fine with that one. I didn't like Michael Carter-Williams at Syracuse. I'll just be honest. So I remember when he almost had that quadruple double in game one against the Miami Heat with Bosh, Wade, and LeBron James.
Vividly remember. They won that game, right?
They won that game.
Yes, they did.
At home.
Yes, that was awesome.
He almost had a quadruple double.
Man, we
and I was I remember talking to my buddy, Joe Eunice. We used to be here together. And we had to look at each other, and we said each other, like, yo, maybe we got this one wrong. Now, it was early. It was game one. Teams make their adjustments, and they did. And he got too big for his own britches because he thought he was better than he was. That's where you take your shot, man. That's where you take your shot. I wouldn't nominate that one, but I'm not going to say, Craig, you're wrong because you did pass him up at 11. You did pass him up. You had an opportunity. You had two picks, 6 and 11. 6 I'm fine with. I know you want to develop a point guard, see? But had you gotten Giannis, who knows? Maybe he wouldn't have developed here, though. Maybe he wouldn't have been Giannis. He seems like he would have worked hard to become the player that he is, but maybe he just wouldn't have become Giannis here. I don't know, but that is one. Mark checks back in on Twitter. He just called Mark and Concha Hawk and says, I just thought of two more got away. How about both of the two best second basemen of the era? Ryan Sandberg, who as we know was here. They traded him to Chicago. And then Julio Franco. Yeah, I forgot about Julio Franco.
You got Ryan Sandberg as a manager. That doesn't count. That doesn't do it for you.
Not when he decided he wanted to quit.
He was bad, man. He was so bad.
He was so done.
So bad.
He was so done. He was out. He wanted nothing to do with it. All right. Patrick Sharp from Joe gave us that one. Vicky saw the crocodile video. She said, oh, hell no. Nah.
Agreed. Correct.
Who else? Let's see. How about... Let me see. I had a few more, or did we go through all of them throughout the show? I think we went through all of them. Where people gave their picks. Charles checks in, but it was more basketball related. 76ers 39 also asked about Sixers training camp. We had the Sixers in today. for a visit to update the building down in Center City on Market Street between 10th and 11th. Everything still looks to be a go as long as the city gives it the pass of continuing on and going on with the process of putting it together. And the team looks good. You see, if you check out the Sixers Twitter or their Instagram account, you see some videos because, I mean, some photos because the guys are back in town. The guys are back in town. So that is cool. And it seems like the two leaders of this team, and Joel Embiid and James Harden, everybody seems to be bought in. Now, it's training camp, so it's early. Open runs right now. But everybody's in the building, and it's cool. I didn't ask if I'd go to the building. I should have. Let me sit in the corner. Let me sit upstairs. But, yeah, the guys are in there getting some work in early on ahead of training camp. Training camp is on the 26th, so we are 11 days away. 11 days away from the start of the Sixers.
Snuck up on us,
season.
Man.
You got training camp, and you have, media day on the 26th, training camp on the 27th. They head to South Carolina to get some work done there. And we'll see. They'll probably be there for about 6 days. And then they'll come back, have their practices here, get their preseason games underway. Next thing you know, it'll be the season. The season starts in just under 1 month on the 18th. Huh?
I feel like it just ended.
Flyers,
I'm
too.
Still getting over the misery.
Flyers, too.
Wow.
We got to mention them.
Yeah, yes, we do. We do.
All right, the Phillies have lost the game now. It is complete. 5-3. They lose. And we hope that Arizona beats the San Diego Padres tonight as the Phillies fall to the Miami Marlins. They win the series. They fall 5-3. And two home runs given up by Noah Syndergaard. So, all right, they didn't win the series. But don't go on and start a losing streak as you go into Atlanta tomorrow. Don't. Bottom line, do not. Is it Ranger tomorrow? That's why I said Ranger.
They announced it earlier. I believe it is Ranger.
I think it is.
I think it's Ranger, Nola, and Falter. I mean, hopefully we get Wheeler back at some point. Hopefully next week.
And then Eflin. Bullpen, maybe.
Yeah.
Got through things clean. So all you need him to do is be a bullpen pitcher for the postseason.
It's just another reliable arm, quote unquote, because of injury. You always worry about him, but if you know when his stuff's going, when he's pitching well, if it's just for an inning or two, it's a guy, another guy you can count on.
Yeah, and if Falter or Gibson or Syndergaard or even Suarez are struggling a bit down the stretch, and you just need somebody to come in long relief, if you will, stretch him out a little bit, see how many he can give you, and go.
Zach Wheeler's first start back, maybe goes four or five. Yeah. Also, Ranger Suarez versus Max Fried tomorrow.
Ooh. Nice match.
Fried's very good.
Nice match.
Aaron Nola versus Jake Odorizzi, who was just acquired from the Astros at the trade deadline. He's been struggling a bit with the Braves. And then Bailey Falter versus Spencer Strider, who's been an absolute stud this year, specifically against the Phillies. So not an easy task this weekend for the Fightins.
You got it, man. Oh, by the way, real fast before you get to the leftovers, I'm looking at this latest in space tweet. Breaking. NASA's Perseverance rover has found organic matter in rock samples on Mars. All right. They're out there, Tom.
Not a lot.
They're out there.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Let's get to it. It's 9:45. Leftovers on this Thursday night. What you got for us, man?
Yes, we are going to start. Not in space, but in the NFL there, Devon.
Space. Might be some space out on the field.
Maybe, yes, there will. Well, especially now because of an unfortunate injury to this player, Jamal Adams from the Seattle Seahawks. He left Monday Night Football earlier in the Seahawks 17-16 win. He is out for the year with a torn quad. He was carted off that game, excuse me. It is confirmed it's a torn quad. They're still discussing his options. The 26-year-old was traded from the Jets to the Seahawks for two first-round picks plus players a couple years ago. Injuries are starting to hit him a little bit. He missed four games in 2020 with a finger and a groin injury. Four games last year with the torn labrum, missing the entire season this year. Really good player when he's on the field. He set the record for sacks from a defensive back in 2020 with 9.5 sacks as a safety, which is crazy. This is just 1 year removed from his 4-year, $70 million contract. thoughts on the player that Jamal Adams is when he's out there, and thoughts on the injury that is unfortunate for the Seattle Seahawks. Not that they're trying to win anything, but you never want to see injuries happen.
The player that you're talking about when he's out there was at his best with the New York Jets. Since he has gotten to the Seattle Seahawks, he has been a disappointment. And I was one of those who was observing the Eagles' safety situation at the time. And while I like Roddy McLeod, if you could upgrade, you upgrade. And I was one that wanted them to go out there and try to acquire Jamal Adams because I thought he was that good. I thought he was that much of a difference maker on the defensive end where they needed to go and do that. They did not, and Howie Roseman was right by not doing so. He has not lived up to the expectations and getting the extension that he got with the Seattle Seahawks. Tough blow for him, tough blow for their defense, big win for them to start the season off. I don't know how they're really going to replace him. However, he hasn't been all that good to start as it is.
I thought he was going to be like one of the best, if not top three safeties in the league for like 10 plus years when he came out of LSU. I thought he was that good, and he was really good when he was with the Jets. It just seems like, I mean, what's his nickname? Blitz Boy on Twitter and stuff. He's just, he's not the total package when it comes to the player you want out of your safety, regardless of the player he is now. Injuries suck. It's a very unfortunate injury. Hopefully he can get back to the field healthy and as soon as possible. We are going to go over to the world of tennis, where one of the greats has called it a career as well. This comes just weeks after Serena Williams announced she was retiring from tennis. Roger Federer, he announced shortly ago that, I believe it was either this morning
earlier this morning.
He announced he's going to play in one last tournament. It's the Laver Cup in London, which is going on right now. Third all-time in Grand Slams, won at 20. 41 years old now. Injuries are a big reason, he stated, why he's retiring. Ranked number one in the world for 310 weeks, 237 of them consecutively. He's won Wimbledon 8 times, 5 times in a row. He mentioned in a quote, "As many of you know, the past 3 years have presented me with the challenges in the form of injuries and surgeries. I've worked hard to return to full competitive form, but I also know my body's capabilities and limits, and its message to me lately has been clear. Tennis has treated me more generously than I could have ever dreamt, and now I must recognize when it's time to end my competitive career." Another GOAT retiring. We're seeing it a lot recently. With
respect.
Thoughts on his career and just what it's Pujols, Serena. We're having a lot of the greatest of all time leaving.
Yeah, and it's funny because with tennis, you can identify those really, really, really greats of all times that you talk about. You go back to McEnroe and even guys like I identify with Yvonne Lendl. And you, Pete Sampras, and these names that, and then you have Federer that comes along, and he's that good.
Djokovic
is also one of them, and I really like the video how he did it earlier because it was just a still shot video of how he had it on social media, and then there were the words that went with it. So I was looking at it without the sound. I'm not sure if there was the actual him just talking over it, narrating it as he was saying it, but. Just looking at it, it was dope. It was really cool. I saw a video a couple of weeks ago where there was this kid that asked him a question in a press conference.
I saw that too, yeah.
And he asked him if whenever he got older and became a better player, could he play with him one-on-one? And they set him up, and it was great. As he is now an older kid in his teens and had a chance to actually go play against him. So congrats
awesome.
On a great career, and I'm sure he'll... It'll be, Roger Federer will be living it up.
Yeah, and then last one very quickly. Michael Jordan's Game 1 jersey from the 1998 NBA Finals in the biopic The Last Dance sells for a record $10.1 million.
Where was it?
It breaks. What do you mean, where was it?
Who had it?
Oh, I don't know. It didn't say. Maybe Michael did. I'm not sure.
Right.
It was at the auction Sotheby, I believe is how you pronounce it.
Okay.
Breaks Diego Maradona's Hand of God 1986 World Cup jersey that sold for $9.3 million. One jersey you could buy. Game worn, what would it be?
Wow.
Not to put you on the spot or anything.
No, that's a great question.
As we're ending
question.
The show.
Great question, and I would say Michael. Oh.
You know what? You can text me later.
I'll text you. Do you have an answer for that?
No, I was kind of hoping you would
run out of time. But that's dope.
But yeah, those are tonight's leftovers.
Oh, great job, man. Oh, that's a good question. By the way, Mike Williams has scored 8 catches, 113 yards, 1 touchdown. Of course, Mike Williams scores on the Kansas City defense. Hey, man, great job. It's always fun on a Thursday with you, Tom Alvor. Thanks to all the listeners, the tweeters, the callers. Really appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow, 6 o'clock, for Draftline Show with Jamie Lynch, and then we'll go to 7 to 10 on the Friday. Everybody, be safe. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.